Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Mike Ruth about his new project, Dodge. Mike is a freelance artist working professionally since the late 1990s. He's illustrated comics, covers, and pinups for titles such as Captain Canuck for Chapter House, Kick-Ass for Image Comics, Animosity, Pestilence, Baby Teeth, Backways for Aftershock Comics, Red Sonja Conan for Dynamite Dark Horse, and numerous other small press independent comic publishers. During our chat, Mike talked about his contributions to the forthcoming Dodge series with Matt Nixon. You can expect news about that Kickstarter project in October. He offered some insight into his comic book influences. Mike made a special effort to recognize the very important people in our lives, our partners, and in Mike's case, he thanked his wife for ongoing support to his comic book career. Before we go further, I encourage you to like this podcast on iTunes, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. Like us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so you can discover a lot more information about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. And now, here's my chat with Mike Ruth about Dodge. So I'm here with Mike Ruth. We met up at the Big Toronto Show. Tell me what's new and exciting with you.
Well, I'm working on a comic book right now for Matt Nixon called Dodge, which is a prequel to the comic that he had out for Image Comics last year called Retcon. And it's been a lot of fun. It takes place over kind of the Vietnam Cold War era, and it's got a werebear, and the bad guys are all werewolves and stuff, and it's pretty high octane action. It's been a big challenge for me to work on a comic book, like the monthly comic book thing. It's been a big adjustment on my schedule, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the process, getting a little faster as I go, noticing some changes. So things are good. Yeah, can't really complain.
You're talking about speeding up the process. I presume you're using traditional methods of creating. I see you've got some pens and some brushes here. Can you talk a little bit about more your process of creating art?
Yeah, sure. Well, I tend to do everything old school. I actually do everything traditionally for the most part. This second issue that I'm working on, the second issue of Dodge right now, I actually be doing the penciling on it on my iPad Pro, which has been a fairly new device in my life. Picked it up a couple months ago, and I've barely had a chance to play with it, but I can see how it's going to be a very useful tool in terms of building speed and getting the process happening faster. But typically, I will just lay out the entire book, try to do it as quickly as possible in like kind of stickman thumbnail versions, and then I kind of develop those a little bit, blow them up a little bit larger, and tighten up the drawings a bit. Yeah, and then blow them up to full size, like 11 by 17, and just ink traditionally. So I'm using brushes. I'm using a couple different tech pens, but mainly everything in the book's been done with a brush or brush pens. I kind of buy these cheap disposable Pigma brush pens that I've been using, which I get a good couple of hours of really fine detail out of. And then after that, they just become great for almost like a dry brush technique for getting things like foliage or background scenery and textures and wood grain and things like that. So the whole book has a pretty unified look in terms of the tools that I'm using to make the final art. In terms of coloring, normally I would color my own stuff, but in this project, we actually have a colorist, Carolyn Nolasco, who's doing the colors for us, and she's just kind of killing it. She's doing all kinds of awesome stuff. And it's strange for me to let go of the power sort of and hand the work over for someone else to color, because I'm normally in control of all that. But she's really doing some surprising things with my work, and it's been exciting to see how she's interpreting my black and white art into color. So that's been exciting. So every time I get color pages turned in, I get pretty lit up about that, because she makes choices I never would make, and I think it's going to be a way more interesting book as a result.
When you're moving to digital, things are moving a little too quick. Do you find that there's an expectation to deliver faster output?
Yeah, I mean, there probably is. I'm not really sure. This is my first time kind of jumping back into doing sequential art after spending a long time doing mainly covers and posters and illustrations of that nature. I mean, I illustrated lots of comics for Scholastic Books and for Rubicon in the early 2000s. I did something like 45 or 50 graphic novels in a four-year span for them, but it was a lot of educational, kind of dry material, not like exciting comic book stuff. So the speed, the deadline was much more fast in those days, but the work didn't I wasn't required to kill myself on everything. I had to just get the work in on time, and it was for a younger audience. So The pressure is different now because I feel like my audience now is are my peers. You know, a lot of friends, most of my friends work in comics or may have made comics or are working in animation or things like that. So this is kind of my first time at bat doing a real comic book, you know, a quote unquote real comic book in the real comic book world. So I'm nervous, but I'm also pretty excited to just see what the response is. I'm having some fun with it. I've gotten to design all kinds of cool monsters and characters. It's a work for hire job, so I'm not a creator beyond my visual input on this project. The characters all exist in Matt's retcon world from his retcon comic.
Any other projects that you can talk about right now, or is everything still under wraps?
No, for the most part, I'm pretty much just on Dodge for the next little while. It's a 4-issue series, and I'm on about halfway through issue 2 right now. I lost a lot of time when I got started on the project because I had resigned from my position as superintendent, where I had been working for the last 8 years at a kind of a rundown building where I live in. I resigned in January, and the first day I was supposed to be replaced, my replacement quit. So I had to stay on duty for 5 months after my resignation, which unfortunately bled 5 months into my project time for Dodge. So it meant that the first book came out much slower than I wanted it to, because I was still stretched between two full-time jobs. Getting the iPad Pro was actually a decision to help maybe speed the process up in penciling so that I could just get more things printed out. Because what I'm doing when I'm working with the iPad Pro now, I'm penciling the book in blue line, and then I'm printing it out on 11x17 in blue line so I can ink and actually have physical artwork at the end of each day that, you know, that I can, you know, later sell or we can offer on the Kickstarter. So Dodge is going to have a Kickstarter starting in October. Matt Nixon's going to be running a Kickstarter for it. We got some pretty exciting stuff. We're going to be offering some opportunities for fans to really become involved with the project, like, you know, maybe even physically appearing in the project. I think it's going to be the kind of thing that people are going to really enjoy. It's got that kind of 80s kind of commando action movie kind of vibe to it. It's been exciting. I'm not really a military guy, so there's been a bit of a challenge for me drawing some of the military stuff. I'm not big on drawing guns and tanks and that kind of stuff, but it's part of the story. So I'm learning quite a lot as I go and doing a lot of research, and it's getting easier to draw those AK-47s now. So.
Well, when you're doing a book like that, certainly you're drawing from other art for inspiration. Who are your inspirations when it comes to art? Who do you look up to?
Well, I certainly have a lot of guys who are like, you know, gods to me, you know, in terms of how I revere them and their work and how their work's affected me. John Buscema would probably be my favorite comic book artist. I loved his stuff on Conan and Thor and Avengers growing up. John Byrne is certainly up there with John Buscema. Just, I love the Fantastic Four, and all of his stuff with Ben Grimm has been fantastic. I love those guys from that era, like Barry Windsor Smith, and Bernie Wrightson certainly is a huge influence on me, the little black and white stuff that I do, the ink work that I do. For this project that I'm working on, Dodge, I've actually been really inspired by Michael Golden's work, because I've been able to get my hands on a lot of copies of The Nom, which is a series that ran in the 80s, which was fantastic, because a lot of the creators involved with The Nom were actually guys who were in Vietnam. It's just an unbelievable source of reference, especially comic book reference, because, you know, there's a lot of pouches and guns and backpacks and things like that that you just don't really, you kind of take for granted until you have to sit down and actually draw them. And then you go, oh, geez, this is a pretty complex piece of kit that I have to draw on this soldier or whatever. So, yeah, that's been a great source of reference. And, you know, yeah, guys like Simon Bisley, Mike Grell. I mean, I could go on all day naming guys that I love. But, yeah, all these guys are very close to me in terms of their influence. I think I try to keep them very close at hand in the studio. A couple weeks ago, I was saved by Joe Kubert. I was struggling with this perspective scene and this one drawing I was doing, and I really couldn't get the shot. And I found this crumpled-up copy of Sergeant Rock on my desk, under my desk on the floor, and I picked it up and opened it up, and there was a scene in there that he had drawn, which was pretty much exactly what I needed. And it just gave me the information that I needed to go forward and actually lay out that page the way I wanted to. He just has this way of clearly seeing things in 3D, and I think that's it's amazing how it just kind of appeared like an angel in my life. This tattered old comic on the floor, I opened it up, and boom, there's the solution I'm looking for. It probably makes it sound like I copied everything that the guy put in the book, but it was just this one shot that kind of gave me this moment of clarity, and I knew exactly how I had to approach the scene that was giving me so much trouble. So yeah, these guys are definitely close at hand in my life. You know, I keep them close. They're unbelievably resourceful, great tools, great resources.
I met up with you at, we talked a little bit about the Toronto show, and I'm wondering what's next for you. What's your next big event that's coming up in the horizon?
Well, here we're in Brampton at the Comic Warehouse. I may be wandering around the Hamilton Comic Con a little bit. I'm for sure going to be at the Mississauga Comic Expo. And then at the end of the month, I'm going to be in Halifax for HalCon 2018, which HalCon's an unbelievable show. Halifax, the crowd out in the East Coast is just excellent. So I'm looking forward to going out there and spreading the word about Dodge and doing some drawing for the folks out there and enjoying lots of lobster and that kind of stuff, hopefully, if it ends up being a good weekend. But that's my next big show. And then beyond that, I haven't really got anything lined up. 2019 is going to be an exciting time. I'll be finished Dodge in the next couple of months, and after that I have no idea what's coming. I am hoping to get back into doing some more covers for Aftershock or some other companies. I'd love to get some more work with Valiant again. That was fun. I did a Shadow Man cover for them last year, which was a blast. Yeah, I'm just open for whatever opportunities are around the corner. There's all kinds of exciting things happening in comics right now, so I'm certainly just open to whatever the universe wants to open up for me. I feel like it's always worth mentioning that I wouldn't be here doing any of this, enjoying this life, doing this kind of work, if it wasn't for the sacrifices of my wife and the hard work she's put in to ensure that I've been able to have this art career. I don't mention it enough, and I really should, because a lot of the interview questions get focused on me and what I do, but the reality is behind this machine that you see sitting in front of you is a woman who makes my heart beat and makes everything move, and I couldn't be doing this without her. So I big shout out to my wife Erica Wallace, who's the Ladysmith Erica on Instagram, and she's a jeweler and a painter and just a talented amazing person. So yeah, I feel like I shouldn't do any more interviews anymore until I at least mention her, because I certainly wouldn't be here doing this interview if it wasn't for her.
Thanks to Mike for chatting with me. You can discover more about Mike on Twitter at UncouthRuth and online at MikeRuth.BigCartel.com. And by the way, Mike's wife, Erica Wallace, can be found on Instagram at TheLadySmithErica, and that's Erica with a K. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. I invite you to subscribe, like, and comment on the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at True North Comics, on Facebook at Facebook.com/TrueNorthCountryComics. And on Instagram at instagram.com/TrueNorthCountryComics. And please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2018.